Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
At the show is live. We'll get our first chance to hear from Kirby Smart on the tragedy of January 15th, as well as Jalen Carter and the culture at the University of Georgia in just a few minutes. We'll continue taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. More reaction to Nick Saban's comments on the new permanent rivals on the upcoming SEC schedule. But we're talking spring football here for a moment. A few camps have already opened, and one is on the verge of it. May actually be be going on tomorrow. Matt Baker joining us from Tampa Bay, covers college football for the Times down there. Matt, thank you for being here. The Gators have many questions. What kind of answers do you think we'll find, especially at the QB position? Good afternoon. Thanks so much for being here.
You're exactly right. Quarterback's my biggest question about the Gators heading into tomorrow and the start of spring ball. Just because, you know, Anthony Richardson had an up and down season, I guess is probably fair to say. He definitely had some low lights, but he got better as the season went along until the 9-of-27 performance against FSU. And, you know, he's going to be a first round pick. And everybody kind of thought Jaden Rashada might be the next guy, but obviously we all know about the NIL kerfuffle that happened there. And, you know, I'm expecting it to be Graham Mertz's show. The Wisconsin transfer had a great debut, and then was just kind of meh after that. But I certainly expect him to be the guy, although we'll see if Jack Miller can make some progress as well. I don't think the bowl game, you know, when he had been banged up last year and there were so many opt-outs and everything, I don't think that was a good gauge of what he is capable of. So I'm curious to see how he's able to progress as well.
Matt, everyone's heard of Mertz because I guess he's been around so long. And I mean, I'd always thought he was a pretty good quarterback. Not that I had spent a lot of time watching his games, but since he landed in Florida, I'm hearing a lot of negativity. What's behind all that?
I think what's behind all that is he was just okay at Wisconsin. I mean, he had that sensational debut. I think it was 20-of-21 or something absurd, and I think the one incompletion was a drop or something. Just played out of his mind, and then after that, it was just okay. I think it was 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions this past year. Completion percentage, nothing to write home about. Even though he had time to develop in that system at Wisconsin under Paul Chryst, who's pretty well regarded as an offensive mind and being able to kind of coach some quarterbacks. So, and I think the other thing that kind of leads to that negativity among some of the fans is I think there's a mindset of that was the best they could do. Just because there were other names out there, either rumored, you know, like Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina, maybe Spencer Sanders from Oklahoma State. There were guys out there who had bigger names and were certainly kind of sexier. But the Gators, you know, I think Billy Napier said in December they evaluated 24 quarterbacks who were in the portal or might go in the portal, and Graham is the one they decided on. Whether that was the right decision, I don't know. We're going to have to find out. But that's kind of some of what leads to the questions and scrutiny among the Gator fans.
Matt Baker with us. Matt, you mentioned Napier, and I remember when he was hired, there was such optimism. A lot of people thought Scott Strickland got the better coach over Scott Woodward at LSU with Brian Kelly. We know what the season results showed. And it just seems, and I'm at a distance here, but it just seems like the negativity keeps building upon itself for whatever reason. How is Billy Napier handling with that, or has he been able to shut it out? And what does this next couple of months into the season look like for him?
Well, Billy's a Saban guy. He is able to avoid the clutter and all that stuff. I think he's done a good job of that. That said, there's a lot of pressure on him. You know as well as I do that this job chews people up and spits them out. I mean, going back to kind of how things ended at Spurrier, you know, Jim McElwain didn't make it through 3 years. Dan Mullen, even though the success that he had, didn't make it through 4. So this is a job that is a pressure cooker. And if you don't have the right mentality, you're not going to handle it well, and you're not going to last. And honestly, that's something Scott Strickland told me, that they kind of evaluated a lot more in the process that led to them getting Billy Napier. It was less so about the schematics and X's and O's or whatever. It's, can this guy handle the job? And they thought that, Billy could. And no, for all we know, he still can. That said, there are a lot of questions. You know, you don't go 6-7 at Florida. No matter what you inherit, that is an unacceptable performance. And you certainly don't lose to Vanderbilt. That's the thing that I personally cannot get past, Paul. You know, I didn't think they were going to be a great team. I said 7-5, but you don't lose to Vanderbilt if you're Florida, ever, under any circumstance. And then add in Georgia and, you know, Florida State and Tennessee, and there wasn't a lot that you could point to in terms of, yes, things are going the right way. And then the recruiting class, too. It was a fine recruiting class, but not kind of the elite thing that I think Florida fans expected. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Billy Napier, especially with the fact that he didn't make a lot of changes to the structure of his staff, which leads to more questions.
Usually, Matt, the transition year, it's tough to really make inroads in recruiting, but the first real class often is where you show your wares, and he didn't do it. It was fine. Fine's not enough. Dan Mullen did fine, but he still got fired. What happened in recruiting, and is there any reason to believe it's going to get better?
So that's a really complicated question. I think some of it is the state of Florida in terms of recruiting is cut so many ways that it's hard to make inroads. I think Georgia, being a superpower up there, I think they got more elite players from the state of Florida than the Big Three did combined. So that's a major issue that Florida can't close in 1 year. You think NIL is certainly a part of the equation. And you kind of add those things up with the fact that Florida didn't have much to sell. It's not like you could look at the way things went last season and say, yes, this is going the right way. I definitely want to play here. This is what I want. So I think you kind of put all those things together and you get a situation where Florida's class was, again, it was deeper than usual in terms of top 300 guys and blue chips and what have you. But you know, if you look at the rankings at the end of the day, Mario Cristobal at Miami did better. And honestly, I think that was kind of the goal in my mind, at least, for what Napier could have done. A top 7-ish class, and to be several spots lower than that, and then not necessarily super impressive in the transfer portal either, led to just a fine performance there.
Matt, finally, I ask you this question all the time. Last year you said 7-5, and it went under, which I would never have believed. Knowing how difficult this schedule is, opening at Utah, and then the usual suspects with FSU at the end, what do you think?
I think 6-6 at this point. Utah is going to be really tough out there. Utah is a tough place to play. They get Cam Rising back. That's going to be tough. Florida State, you know, I've been up there today and talking about them as a college football playoff contender. I don't think that's too strong. I think the Noles are going to be really, really good. And then you add in, like you said, the usual suspects with Georgia, with LSU. You look at South Carolina being a lot better. And again, you lose to Vanderbilt last year. There's no gimmies. So if I had to say right now, and again, don't hold me to this, it's March 3rd, but I would not be surprised at all if they're 6-6 and really, really, really looking at what are we doing here and what's the signs of progress we can do to sell this going forward.
And by the way, Matt, not that you need me to tell you this, but it could be a lot worse than 6-6. And then I would hate to think about what the questions are going to be like. They're going to be like, they're not going to be very good anyway, if that record isn't very good. Matt Baker, thank you very much. Great to talk to you. We'll see you soon. Matt Baker joining us. We mentioned the Kirby Smart interview, his first comments other than written statements since the tragedy of January 15th and the Jalen Carter situation. We'll hear from Kirby Smart when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. It's been a frenetic Friday afternoon. We appreciate you being here. We mentioned the Kirby Smart interview. We had Mark Schlabaugh on earlier, and this is Mark Schlabaugh earlier today with Coach Kirby Smart.
When did you become aware of the arrest warrant for Jalen Carter?
When it came out, you know, it's an ongoing investigation, so I'm not really allowed to talk about it, but I know that he was at the scene. Obviously, from the people at the emergency room that night and the people we saw, we knew that he had been questioned and had been talked to, but we found out about the arrest warrants when everybody else did.
The statement you released Wednesday said your program would continue to fully cooperate with authorities. What does that mean?
It means do everything they ask. I mean, as simple as it is, you know, we're in search of information too. I think there's a misperception out there that we may know more than other people, or there's this misperception that we're trying to hide something. We're in search of information too, and we don't get all that information. So we'll cooperate fully with authorities and give them all the information we can.
Kirby Smart earlier today with Mark Schlabaugh, he also told Schlabaugh that he did not think Georgia had a culture problem. I can't remember if that was on that clip or not, but he said he was unaware that Jalen Carter had been stopped for speeding earlier in the year. A lot of interesting comments from Kirby Smart earlier today. Let's get John next in Florida. Hello, John.
Paul, thanks for having me on the show, as always.
Thank you.
I was listening to your call between you and Mark Schlabaugh, and if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but I thought I heard him say Jalen Carter gave conflicting testimonies, that he told them at first, oh, I'm at a hotel or a condo a mile away, and then the story changed. Now, if that's lying to police, that has to be more than a misdemeanor. And I'm not really asking.
Yeah, no, based on what Schlabaugh said, my interpretation of that is that Jalen Carter, you can use whatever description you want, lied, misled, and that can be a crime, misleading police. You could go as far as saying, I mean, obstruction of an investigation is strong. It's hard to, that might not be the standard, but certainly misleading an investigation, misleading statements.
And listen, I get it. Paul, we're all human. Even when you're young, you're 12 years old, you stole something, you did something wrong, you initially lied to protect yourself. That's very understandable in human nature, but that's still not right. It's still wrong. So I'm not trying to blame Jalen Carter from the perspective of he's a terrible, wicked person, but I am trying to bring to light if what Mark Schlabaugh said is true, Jalen may have gotten himself in more hot water than he.
Well, I think you're right. I think he has. I mean, my read on this 30 hours ago was that Jalen Carter might be in good shape. I don't think that's the case any longer. Schlabaugh indicated that, you know, losing your license is not a big deal when you're about to be a zillionaire. It is if you're just a normal everyday person like the rest of us. However, the point being, it's already alleged that he misled police. It's already alleged that he may have left the scene of a crime. I mean, these are things that are going to be deleterious to his reputation, which may not put him in harm's way from a criminal standpoint, but they're going to be extremely dangerous to him in terms of his draft status.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I, I think there's a lot of very interesting points mentioned there. You know, he's a high-profile person, and this could be a very excellent teaching moment for other student athletes, high-profile people moving forward of how to handle situations when things like that happen. You know, I mean, we don't know what goes through his head. We weren't there. We don't know what happened. But leaving the scene and coming back and lying to police,
yeah, no,
understandable.
I mean, it's a terrible look. And I mean, there's a level of criminality that is in the air. I mean, he's already been charged with two misdemeanors. And I asked someone today, why only misdemeanors? And the answer was very simple, that the solicitor, that's what they're called in Georgia for this type of situation, simply could not meet a higher standard to get a conviction. So that's where they left it.
Wow. So, and also, before I let you go, the spectator who took the video, I guess maybe the video was too graphic and gory. That's why they couldn't release it as evidence to the public.
I don't think it was evidence to the public. It was, I think it was to ESPN. That was where, it's clearly in the evidence chain now with the police. I suspect it will come out at some point.
Okay. Well, that could be, you know, we don't really know. So there were other subjects.
Yeah. And by the way, not to pile on Jalen Carter, but on top of all that, he was pulled over for speeding months ago. And usually when you're pulled over for speeding, it sends alarm bells off. Speeding tickets are really, nobody likes them, but usually when you get a speeding ticket, you don't do it again.
Well, and Paul, this won't sound sexy, but I'm sure you know the answer to this. Do you know what the number one reason for fatalities and car accidents is?
I don't.
Speeding. Speeding. That's the number one reason why people are killed in car accidents is speeding. So,
yeah.
Anyways, thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you. I got pulled over once for going too slow. Janice is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Janice.
Hey, first-time caller, but we enjoy your show.
Thank
every
you.
Opportunity we get. One question, and I'll hang up and listen. How many universities in the United States would allow a student athlete to compete in a game if he had allegedly supplied and delivered a murder weapon? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, a good question for Kirby Smart, but it's not germane to the issue. Back to Georgia for a second. If Jalen Carter was still on the team, what would Kirby Smart have done? He's no longer part of the team. It really doesn't matter any longer. Let's talk to Jeb next in Georgia. Hello, Jeb. I heard crickets there. How about James up next? James, good afternoon. James, you there? I'll tell you what, my batting average isn't very good today. Dale is up next in Colorado. Hello, Dale.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Okay, so, Paul, the only thing that I want to really say about this is, you know, everybody's talking about how, you know, Kirby Smart should step up and say this or say that. Okay, so what is Kirby supposed to say? He's not their father. He's their coach. I understand, you know, that, you know, it's a culture and all that, but I mean, if you guys seen the video today of all the Georgia players in you know, at Georgia watching Nolan Smith and all that, cheering for him and all that, that's the culture at Georgia. Kirby has no control over his players. You know what I'm saying? And first of all, Stetson and Jalen Carter was not on the team at the time of this, when this happened. Okay, so
yeah,
so
I agree with you on that. I think what's happened to Jalen Carter, especially Stetson Bennett's arrest, is completely irrelevant to Kirby Smart. The Jalen Carter thing's only relevant because it involved an active player. You're right.
Right.
Once you leave the program, I mean, nobody asked Nick Saban, what he was going to do about Henry Ruggs a year and a half ago. He was already gone.
Right. Exactly. And the only, I mean, I want to make one more comment, and I love Legend, don't get me wrong, I love him to death, and he wants to talk about boo-boo. Well, hopefully Alabama can face a boo-boo, and when we push y'all down and skin y'all knees, y'all will have a boo-boo. Elvis has died on the toilet.
Frank is in Connecticut. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Paul. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Paul, I have a quick comment or two on the Jalen situation. And, you know, it appears to me that he's been charged for the same offenses more than once. That's pretty much what everybody's saying. So there's a real character issue having to do with being,
let me jump in quickly. I don't think he was ticketed for the speeding earlier in the year.
Oh, he wasn't. Okay. That clears that up.
By the way, he should have been, and had he been, I doubt he would have done it again.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just that there was nothing zeroed in on that. But
no, I think he is. He's gone from he may be okay if he does good interviews to he's got Jalen Carter now has a lot of problems ahead.
Oh, that was my other short comment. I was going to say, you know, if I was an owner of any of those NFL franchises or getting involved in those interview rooms at the combine, the first thing I'd ask them is, look, in lieu of your background and recent problems, if we get in there, what are we going to expect? That we're going to find your car wrapped around the tree 3 days after you get signed? So, you're right. I think he's got more problems coming.
Well, Frank, it depends. It's the age-old issue. Everyone thinks they can rehabilitate someone else, including an NFL club. The fact that this is already out, may help him. I think the beyond the speeding, it's the I don't know how to characterize it. Misleading, lying. I mean, if you don't tell the truth, you're lying. Especially when there's intent.
Exactly.
Misleading is saying, "Hey, I had a burger for lunch when I actually had burger and fries."
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey, welcome back. Another 90 minutes to go on a Friday afternoon. William in Maryville up next.
Hello, Paul. How are you on Friday?
Okay, William. Thank you.
I want to ask you a question on this Jalen Carter situation. You know, there's two witnesses to what happened, and those are the two survivors in the LaCroix car, the
right
player that was not injured at all, and the young lady that I think was seriously injured. Has anybody talked about what they saw, or were they too intoxicated, or is it just something nobody's talking about?
Well, no, I think it's pretty obvious. They have spoken to law enforcement. We haven't heard what they said, and I'm sure at some point we will. You understand that better than we do.
Have you heard anything at all about them at all?
Not a word.
I mean, the only thing I heard earlier on was one of them said that, you know, they didn't have any interest in suing the university since it was a university rental car. I wonder if that's changed.
Yeah, I mean, there's a story out today about the family not being happy. I mean, I would think a lot of things have changed, William. I mean, this is, I'll never forget, as I know you won't, those first two or three days of this story. I mean, it was about as maudlin and somber as anything I can remember outside of what we went through with Coach Leach. And that was one reason why a lot of people have asked now, why didn't you talk more about the Miles arrest at Alabama, because we were really just in such a state of shock over the Georgia story. But you're right. Nothing has been said on that. And really, there are a lot of questions. And we talked about it early on, where this story looked like it was going. Remember the AJC report that caught so much flack? And I think the university probably just wanted to, you know, get these young people buried and without some of these facts coming out. That's just my guess. I have no idea.
What? And I agree with you 100%. Of course, the guest you had a few minutes ago, I thought he said that Carter was either racing alongside.
Yeah,
you know, when this first came out about Carter, you know, I kept thinking, well, hoping for Carter's sake, you know, the young lady had driven a mile ahead and had the wreck, and he wasn't even, you know, even around. But I don't know how, if you're street racing somebody and they run off the road and kill two people, I don't know how you're not complicit in that vehicular homicide.
Well, William, let me give you a hypothetical, because I don't know all the facts, but it's pretty obvious based on what Schlabaugh said. Carter left the scene. So pick up on what you just got through saying. He left the scene, and then he's back at the scene later. But leaving the scene, he wasn't charged with that, though, based on what Schlabaugh said.
Technically, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't involved in the wreck, so okay, as to leave the scene. But the other question is, how do you leave the scene and not render aid to your friends that
exactly
are in the car that just wrecked?
That might be the money question I would ask him at the NFL Combine. What kind of person are you?
You know, I mean, I don't know that, again, he was a participant in the, you know, if he'd been,
but,
you know,
if the two of us are racing and I'm not involved, but and you crash, and it's pretty obvious it was a horrific crash, I think he alluded to the fact that he heard it initially from a mile away, then why are you not racing back there to make sure they get help?
Well, I guess the question is how could he have been a mile away if according to that interview,
well,
he was, you know, he was right next to them, basically, or well, they were just right ahead of him.
And William, you know, he wasn't a mile away, I think, is the answer.
It wasn't a mile away, and how do you not go and see if your friends are alive?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I think this is going to blow up before it blows over, Paul.
And, you know, back to Kirby Smart saying there is no culture problem there. Well, I don't know if there is or isn't, but there's been a stream of negativity coming out of this program since the national championship game.
Well, and you know, and you're right about this one, because of the two young people that were, you know, it was easy to say, well, they just had a wreck and two people died. And now the other thing, I know the guy said speeding, you know, I think the two that survived had seatbelts on.
Right, that is correct.
Another thought.
Based on what I've
heard. And the one guy that wasn't hurt all
answer
had a
this question
on,
because you I realize you practice a different type of law today, but still, based on what Schlabaugh said, they only had enough for these two misdemeanors. Can you explain how that works when you're a solicitor or a DA and you're trying to decide what charges to file?
Well, I've never been a prosecutor, but I would say that you look at the evidence, you talk to the witnesses, and you say, what can we prove beyond a reasonable doubt, because we don't want to lose. But, Schlabaugh also said that they talked to a lot of people because of the stature of Jalen Carter. The stature of Jalen Carter shouldn't have factored
yeah,
into
I didn't,
this.
I didn't understand that at all.
It should have been, okay, we got some kids racing and one car wrecks, and the driver, who is obviously, you know, culpable in the race, but the passenger certainly isn't. I just wonder what the passengers have to say, especially that young lady who was seriously injured. And, you know, I think she was, I mean, does she have permanent injuries and medical bills and this sort of thing that have to be paid? And certainly, somebody's going to go back to the University of Georgia because they rented the car.
Explain that to the those of us who.
Well, I mean, the car was rented in the name of the University of Georgia. Somebody had insurance on the car.
Okay.
And I suspect that Georgia was, you know, self-insured as opposed to checking off the block. It hurts when they ask you, you want, you know, use your insurance or you want to use, you know, the auto rental company's insurance. And I suspect that Georgia had some sort of umbrella policy that covered all of their rental vehicles. And, you know, why I know that Georgia came out early on, Paul, and said, you know, this car was driven in violation and it wasn't part of her normal duties. But, you know, what was she doing driving a car at 2 a.m. intoxicated with two players and another staff member? And why wasn't that car turned in at the appropriate time? If she's a recruiting coordinator, I doubt she was doing any recruiting. You know, why'd she have the car in the first place? And she certainly wasn't you know, running recruits around campus. That's one thing, you know, that's one thing that's got to be asked. What are the policies on these rental cars?
Well, clearly that was in violation. But you got it in violation of something, Paul. Yeah, but again, what does that mean? I mean, I'm sure I would think the handbook goes on forever and nobody's ever read it.
Well, and I think also what it means is the university and their insurance carrier is going to have some liability, you know, to these survivors if they file a lawsuit.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, the old saying is the tortfeasor is always liable, which means the young lady driving is always liable. But, you know, she might have some underlying insurance that covers her driving a university vehicle. But I suspect that, the amount of her coverage is minimal compared to what the university had. And, you know, obviously the one young man wasn't hurt seriously, and the other young lady was, I think, hurt pretty seriously. And if she's got permanent, you know, disability or permanent injuries or scarring or whatever in the way of damages, she could have a situation being a university employee that her insurance is the same insurance that insured the car. So you don't know what her coverage is, and does she have a, you know, do her medical bills have a subrogation claim against those damages? You know, it's complicated, Paul, because of the fact that it was a university rented car.
William, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Some really serious questions. Rod is up next in Georgia. Hey, Rod.
Hey, Paul, first time calling. Appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I do like your show. Sort of echoes. I think the previous caller took a little bit of this, but, you know, it was a question that I wanted to ask was, when is somebody going to, in light of this, everything that we know, you know, ask Kirby Smart, have they, you know, is there a problem with institutional control when you have, you know, staff members who are apparently, you know, drinking and driving with student athletes in a university controlled vehicle or owned vehicle? If you rent it, it belongs to them. I don't want to get into the legal stuff, but, you know, those are questions that probably, you know, need to be asked about how the program is being managed when, you know, and I can appreciate the fact that, hey, they just won a national championship and they're celebrating and, you know, everybody would be in a celebratory mood. But I got to think the university's got some explaining to do. And some of that, I'm not saying it was all apparent when some of the information came out. And, you know, I'm not a UGA fan, but all I could think when it first came up was, well, hey, that's a tragedy. You know, they're celebrating and, you know, that's just a terrible thing to happen. And then as things come out, and clearly I believe that the university probably was aware of this in some detail over the last, you know, month to 2 months and probably should have been forthright or at least getting in front of it. And, you know, when is the media going to say, hey, Kirby Smart, you know, a person aligned with your program has players in a car, 1 o'clock in the morning, twice the legal limit. You know, what does the university have to say about that?
Well, that finally happened today. I don't know if we really got any answers. Kirby Smart got on TV and the university did more than a prepared statement, which is all they had been doing until now. Hey, thank you very, very much for your call. Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul, I don't know if this is relevant, but sometimes the local police treat student athletes differently.
Sure.
And I was going to relate a story when I was at Auburn. It was late 60s, of course, but I dated a football player, and he was real bad to drink. And so we would ride around, and I didn't drink back then. And so I remember one morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, we got pulled over. The police knew who he was, called him my name. He said, young lady, can you drive home? And I said, yes, sir, I can. And so I went home, and he called me at 9 o'clock the next morning to come pick him up, and that was it.
Well, Pat, it's no secret. It's, back when you went to school, back when everyone went to school, including today, athletes are treated differently. And there's an old story that Nick Saban got the Tuscaloosa police chief fired after he got there. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying it was a legend that went around right. Because too many of his players were getting arrested. And next thing you know, his team was in better shape. I mean, we're talking about small town USA, not to do a riff on a country music song. We're up against a break. Back with much more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back as we continue here. What an afternoon this has been, and let's continue with more phone calls. Frank is in Salt Lake City. You're on the air. Hello, Frank.
Paul, I just want to say thank you for doing what you do. I'm your number one fan of the Mountain West.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you for keeping me Oh, absolutely. You keep me connected with my SEC while I live 2,000 miles away from where I grew up, and I'm a Tennessee fan. And I wanted to talk about the first thing. I went to Twitter this morning and noticed all of the three teams that every team is going to get permanent. I wanted to talk about that.
Okay, sure.
My thing is, I like it. And I feel like, you know, this is all, I've heard you talk about they're going to get rid of divisions. We all know that the SEC is going to expand with Texas and Oklahoma starting next season. But I like the tradition stay, like Tennessee, my Vols, I'm a Tennessee fan, the Vols and Vanderbilt. Which brings me to, shockingly, I'm going to take up for somebody I rarely ever take up for, and that is Coach Saban.
Sure.
When he spoke out first thing this morning, I'm thinking, oh man, here he goes again. But he has a point. I totally think LSU and Tennessee are going to give him a handful, but he can handle that. What I think is, I hope this isn't a bad take, Auburn. I think that's what he's really worried about. I don't know if worried's the right word, but here's why. Auburn fires and hires coach and staff, guess what, based on if they can beat Alabama. And I'm thinking maybe Saban's like, I got this, but if I were him –
Yeah,
but if I
could say this to you, Frank, I think you're – I understand what you're hearing, but if you look at the SEC with every school, Alabama playing Auburn is among the top two or three automatics. I mean, I would say if you told me what games would I bet my life on, Oklahoma, Texas – Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia. I'm not saying there aren't other ones that look obvious, but those are among the most obvious. So I really believe, based on what Dellinger said, I don't know if you heard the interview, is that and I thought it was Tennessee, but he said he thought Saban was more upset about having to play LSU because that is clear. The Alabama-Tennessee game is one of the oldest rivalries and one of the most storied rivalries. But the reason why LSU and Alabama is in there, according to Ross, television. It's been the biggest television game in the conference for the past 15 years. It started because Saban was at LSU, and then he went to Alabama, and that game became eagerly anticipated. But since then, it has been the number one game of the year. I mean, there may be a year when it wasn't, but most years, it's been the most watched game in the SEC.
Yeah, I totally get that, and as it should be, absolutely. But I just feel like I'm not totally
but
agree
everybody,
with that.
I mean, Alabama's a rival with so many schools where, you know, Auburn, you could go, I mean, you know Auburn, Georgia, you know Auburn, Alabama, but the third school is not as obvious. I mean, LSU, I mean, I don't mean second and third games, but every year when you look at the SEC schedule, there are a handful of games that stand out, and I think they're trying to be equitable. They looked at they have a model. They used this same model during COVID. A lot of people may have forgotten, but they had to come up with an equitable way of playing. So they went back 10 years. You're never going to please everyone, but I think they've made a couple of good decisions. Getting rid of, I mean, Florida LSU was a game that both sides hated because it was an awkward game. Nobody's going to be happy with everything on this. We're up against the break, an hour to go. Stick around.